Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the opportunity for you to pick up the phone, give us a call, ask a question that's been keeping you up at night. Give us a call at 503-417-9595, toll free, 877-733-1011. And in studio with me is Kevin Steggy with the Baker Colson CPA firm.
Hey, hello, Chuck.
Hello, Kevin. Well, looks like postseason bowl games for college teams are winding down here.
Getting close to that time.
They're going to have to win to make it.
Yep.
And it looks like the Apple Cup is going to determine the Northern Division winner.
It should, yeah.
Yeah, got a lot of exciting stuff. By the way, we want to wish all of our listeners a very happy Thanksgiving coming up this Thursday. And last week, we ran our show on Saturday, which was the Marine Corps birthday. But 2 days later, we celebrate the Veterans Day, and we want to shout out there to all the veterans. We hope you had a great week, and absolutely, if it wasn't for the veterans, we wouldn't have our great country. So God bless you all.
That's right.
And so we're going to get right into it. You know, a lot of things going on in the market. To say the stock market's been volatile is kind of crazy, because the month of October, the witching month, I got to tell you, I ran numbers yesterday because in reviewing portfolios with some of our clients, going over what happened the month of October, the S&P was down about 7.2%. Now, that's a pretty volatile month. So that means if you had $1 million invested in the S&P, you were down $72,000. Not a happy day. Not a happy month. Would not be a happy month. Of course, if you're in managed portfolios that are kind of trying to stay lower, then you might be down anywhere from 1 to 3%. You know, now, does that make you feel any better? No, of course not. It doesn't. It never makes you feel good if you're an investor to lose money. But again, remember, you're not losing the money until you actually cash out. So if you've got good quality investment program, you have a good long-term strategy, you have to stay the course at things like this. Look, we're going to have these volatile months. And quite honestly, this year has been kind of a very volatile year. So we're going to have these. The key thing is, as an investor, is you have to have short-term realistic in your goals, but have a long-term perspective of what you really want the money to do. It's kind of like I tell people all the time when they come in, they say they're retiring. Well, the question I always ask is, are you retiring for 6 months, or are you retiring for the rest of your life? And they look at you and say, well, what do you mean? And I say, well, when you think about your investments, are you investing for 6 months? Or are you investing for the rest of your life? If you're going into retirement with short-sighted movement of your portfolio, I got news for you. And I've been doing this a long, long time. You're going to lose, and you're going to lose big time. If you jump from program to program to program, I got to tell you, when people come in and see me, if they just moved from one broker to another broker to another broker, and I'm looking at their portfolio, And I tell them, look, maybe you need to stay where you're at and let this program work out and see what they're doing. Because you know what? Jumping from plan to plan to plan only benefits the broker you're moving to for a short period of time. And it doesn't do anything for your portfolio. In all honesty, it just doesn't. You got to get a strategy and stick with it. We got a question here about, this would be a good one, Kevin, for you and me to talk about. Mark's got a question about trust real estate.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just got back from Seattle. My dad lives in Shoreline. My brother and I are the co-trustees of this trust, which was taken out in 2010. He has dementia now. The state has deemed him incompetent because he sold his house to a lady for a dollar. We had to go through the whole thing with the elder abuse when we got the house back. Now we're going to sell the house and move him to Portland. How does this work out tax-wise if my brother and I are the trustees now because he's been deemed incompetent?
This trust is just a living trust, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And he is still the only beneficiary.
Okay.
Is that correct? I'm sorry, that was a question.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yes, he's living, yes.
Okay, so this is still, even though you guys are the trustees and managing it, for tax purposes, this is still treated as a disregarded entity, and he just continues to file his tax return as if he owned all of the assets in the trust. I'm assuming it's a living trust, not an irrevocable trust.
Right. Yeah,
so this would be the sale of his principal residence, and you would be able to apply the principal residence exclusion.
Can I run the numbers to you real quick?
Sure can.
Okay, so if he sold it for $600,000, he's single, so he'd get the $250,000 first-time exemption?
Correct.
This house, the sale price was $125,000.
Bought it for $125,000, okay.
Correct. He gets to write off, we'll say, $30,000 in improvements over those years, just a guesstimate.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to write off the real estate fees, correct?
Correct.
Anything else?
Just the rest of the small closing costs, and that's about it.
Okay. Now, we'll say it. Now we'll round those figures out to say 4.25% after that. So he would pay tax on $175,000 if he sold it for $600,000.
That sounds about right. Yeah, if sold it for six, and he had a basis of $150,000 roughly. So we got $450,000 minus $250,000. You'd have about $300,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when we move him to Oregon, where would the taxes be filed? We're going to do that after the first of the year, and we're going to sell the house after the first year.
Okay. So. That is a good question. So if you move him to Oregon and he becomes an Oregon resident and then you sell the house, Oregon's going to want their 9% on that gain. And he would just have been a resident for a few months. So if you can...
So we don't pay Washington anything?
Correct. Just their closing, their amount at closing cost, yeah. Amount at closing, yeah.
Second question. I'm purchasing a house I put in an offer yesterday. Can I write those closing costs? Can I estimate those closing costs on my personal income tax this year?
No, any real estate closing costs go into your basis and wait until you sell the house and reduce your gain at that point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, well, thank you for your help.
Very good. Very good
question. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Kevin, that's one of the things that people often think when somebody has a living trust, that it's a separate trust tax ID or entity. And in most cases, living trusts are going to carry the Social Security number or tax ID of the grantor of the trust. In this case, would be the dad and the mom, or in this case, just the dad, but be his Social Security number. So everything pretty much goes on that. And just because you do a living trust, you don't lose the one-time $250,000 capital gain, or $500,000 if you're married.
Exactly. Not once every 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but you just don't lose it. That's
exactly
the main thing. And most people are in their house for a lot longer than 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, once in a while you'll find one moving and jumping around, but normally if they're that age, we're going to be having to have services. They're not.
Yeah.
Usually that doesn't work too well.
Exactly.
Well, listen, I'm going to jump right back into the market. That was a good question. But we always, you know, listen, if you call in and you have a question, you're going to be put right to the front of the line. So we're going to stop what we're doing. We're going to let you ask your question. And we're going to try to do our best to give you an answer. I do want to give you a heads up on this. As of December 1st, we're going to be changing our format and our shows. And our show is going to be basically on, so you're going to have to check out our website. We'll have that updated here shortly, but it's not updated yet. But as of December 1st, we'll be on one station on Saturday and one station on Sunday. So we're cutting back our exposure on the radio. And if you want to talk to your station about picking us up, you need to call them and talk to them because that's kind of out of our control. But you can talk to the stations and see about that. But we're going to be here. We will always be at pfgwm.com. You'll always be able to go to investingsimplifiedradio.com and see that on there. And so that'll be there. I do want to mention also, I have mentioned that we're in the process of merging our operation with another organization, and we will have an office out on the west side, and we'll still be maintaining our office on the east side. And so we'll be expanding, and what we'll be doing is expanding with services and benefits that'll be much better. So that's the whole idea. If you grow, you want to grow and have prosperity.
So cutting back to one station on Saturday and Sunday, are you telling me my star is dimming?
Yes.
Oh, that was a quick answer. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
But the fact is, you know, if you do want us, you can contact your station or you can contact us. Send us an email at chuck@pfgwm.com. And we're, you know, the thing is, well, I don't know. What do you say? If you think it's of value, you need to let the station know.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. The one thing different about our show is more of a public service show. We're not just pounding on you, trying to sell you stuff all hour. And most of the shows are geared that way. So their revenue is geared that way, and ours isn't. And, you know, in many cases, we work on fees. We don't work on commissions. So many of them receive commissions 7 to 10 times higher than our fees. And so it's a whole different ballgame if you're playing with a different perspective on that. And so we're just not going to do that.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Yeah.
We're going to do what we always think is right for the client and right for the listener. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing. But if you got any questions, you can certainly call me or you can call Kevin or you can call Carl. And we'll all three still be here, but we're just going to be cutting down on the networks that we're on. I also am doing a Tuesday podcast that I'm putting on the on our station at investingsimplifiedradio.com and at pfgwm.com. And you can go in there each week and listen to my commentary, because that's really what it is, commentary. But I will be having guests on there like Kevin and Carl and some other people, Steve Anderson on mortgages. I'll be having Michael Standard talking about reverse mortgages. I'll be talking to Sherry McCants about health. So we'll have some different people on there as guests, so you can hear what they have to say. Back to the market, folks. Look, here's a strange thing. The market goes down 7.2%. The S&P goes down 7.2% in the month of October. We all know October sucks when it comes to the market. It always has. You know, something like 85% of the big declines in the stock market have happened in October. But here's the strange thing. Even with the market going down that much in October, the S&P year-to-date, as of the close of the market on the 16th, which was yesterday, Friday, the S&P is up 2.34% for the year. See what I'm talking about? Volatility? It's just insane. The Dow Jones is up 2.81% year-to-date. Folks, we're just having a tremendous amount of volatility. I'm kind of running out of time here on my segment. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back. And we got a caller on the line. As soon as we come back, Wayne will be talking to you about your question about health insurance, So hang on, Wayne. We'll be right back and talking to Wayne. Wealth Management. Price Financial Group. Wealth Management.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin, 503-417-9595, or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and let's go right to the phones. Wayne, are you there?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much.
Ah, great.
Kevin, I wanted to ask you a question. I don't know. Nobody's been able to answer it for me, but it's about health insurance and these Obama plans. If you get a subsidized plan, and I think the threshold between Medicaid and the plan is like $24,000. If you say you make $24,000, and you get the plan, and of course they pay the subsidized premium. If you make less than that, or you should have got Medicaid, if you only make $18,000 or something like that, do you have to pay that difference back?
Well, I would think if you get less, they should have paid more of your health insurance, and so you'd actually get a refund calculated on your tax return. Maybe I'm out of whack there in terms of less or more, but typically the more income you make, the less credit you get.
Well, yeah, but you know, when I go online, I can't find an answer to that, and then when I called them, it's like calling the IRS, you don't really get a definitive answer.
No. Yes, no. I'd be surprised if you got hold of somebody even calling the IRS anymore. Yeah.
So, no, it's just one of those things where if a bonus doesn't kick in, to get to that point, and you get less money, or you should have been on Medicaid instead of one of the plans. I just don't know what they do about that.
Did you pay any out of pocket?
What do you mean by that?
In other words, you went to the health insurance exchange.
Still pay about $300 a month.
Okay.
Reduced premium, subsidized premium. Yeah.
Exactly. They pay, if it's a $700 policy, they pay $400, you're paying $300. And
right.
if your income actually was less than you reported to them, then typically you're going to take the form that they give you, put it on your tax return, and on a form 8962, you'll calculate, typically if you have less income, they're going to say, hey, you should have had more of those premiums paid for you. Instead of $400, it should have been $600, or probably in this case, almost all of it. And then you would get the difference back as a refund on your tax return. So anybody who goes through the exchange most likely needs to file a tax return to reconcile what the exchange paid and what you paid based on your actual income for the year.
Okay. Well, good. Well, thank you so much. You were nice. I appreciate it.
Ah, very good question. Good stuff.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
yeah.
Kevin, you're up. The tax investigator's in the house.
All right. Well, sounds good. So I thought I would talk today about, let's see, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Two big issues. Each one will probably take the time. Let's talk about this new 20% deduction for businesses. And before you just tune me out, you're like, well, I'm not a business. This won't apply to me. I think the perspective on this is, you know, if you're going to be an employee the rest of your life, then you probably can tune this tax break out. But it's always probably good to know how taxes do work and how it affects you and affects others and makes you a more informed voter, I guess. So that's a good thing. But I think this is something that's going to affect most people at one time or another. Many people work as an employee at a job, and then it turns out that, hey, I think I'm going to be retiring, but you're going to hire me back under, a contract. Well, voila, all of a sudden this section applies to you. You're in the business of consulting. And so any small business needs to either know this inside and out. This section, this new section they put in, section 199 is going to be, the tag on this, the 20% deduction or section 199, kind of like 1031 exchanges are known for the code section they're under. Well, I think this is going to be the section 199 deduction because it's going to apply to all businesses at least for 7 years until either these rules sunset or it will continue on if they extend them. But in general, what this section is it says you get to take 20% of your net profit and deduct that from your taxable income for income tax purposes. So if you had, if you made $100,000 in your consulting business and that was your only income, 20% deduction, you're only taxed on $80,000. So that's a good thing. But if you do really well in your business, they start saying, well, certain businesses don't get this deduction. And that's kind of the section I wanted to talk about here is what those businesses are. And it's a pretty good amount of money, but most of our small businesses easy make this amount of net income unless there was some unique item in the year that we're taking accelerated deductions on. But the businesses that we're looking at, and this covers a lot of people, is anybody in the health industry that has a small business. So if you're a doctor or dentist, clearly that's you. If you're a nurse working for a hospital, probably not because you're an employee. If you retire and you consult to the medical industry, or maybe you're not retired, maybe you just consult with the medical industry, then you have a consulting field. Any attorneys are covered in this. Accounting is covered in this. Here's an interesting one, performing arts. So our artists who are struggling to make a living sometimes, they don't get to benefit from this deduction. And I'll tell you what the common thread is in all these businesses. Athletic folks don't get to take advantage of this. And then, of course, last but not least, financial services, financial brokers. Yes, Chuck, that is you. That is me. It is Carl. We're all in this boat. And then they have this thing called any business where the principal asset is your reputation or your skill. So in other words, you kind of get the idea that these are professional services, consulting. These are people that typically can make a good money without having to hire people or invest in assets and real estate.
So you're saying we're getting linked in with comedians?
Hey, I like that. Or clowns, traveling clowns.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. But only if you make a significant amount of money in these professions. So if you just kind of moonlight and do part-time job and you're only making $100,000 and you're a consultant, then you're okay. You get the 20% deduction. It's when you are married and you make over, your taxable income is over $315,000, or if you're single and your taxable income is half of that, which is $157,000. So those are things to start considering. You know, so say you have a business that has a lot of employees, and you're a retail business. You can typically start making a fair amount of money. You know, report $1 million or $2 million of profit from a significant endeavor. And you do get the deduction based. There's some other limitations that kick in, and we won't talk about the details ad nauseum. But they are definitely being fought out. I've been to at least three or four classes, and there is a pretty significant argument about what qualifies. You know, how the calculations are determined, whether real estate is considered an active trader business that gets this deduction or not. One very knowledgeable expert says no, real estate hasn't ever applied to the definition of an active trader business. And other people are saying no, that's the intent and that's what this means because of certain parts. So it's still being fished out. But I think it's important if you have a business or a small business to be proactive before the end of the year in discussing this with your accountant. I'm in the process of contacting most of my clients that this applies to so we can do some tax planning and kind of know where things are going to hit for them. With all of these tax law changes, I have some very wealthy taxpayers that are going to be paying significantly more in taxes related to the tax law changes. And I have some that are not going to be paying more. They're actually going to get a little bit of a tax break. And then I have some brick and mortar clients, some hardworking blue collar clients who are making, you know, they're going to really benefit from these tax breaks.
Well Kevin, so, I had a little text message here that said, recording studios fall under the starving artist category?
Yeah, you know, I think the artist that performs would, but I think the recording studio probably would not. You are offering a service that's not based on your reputation. You're offering a service based on
location and facilities.
Exactly,
yeah.
And producing a product. And so I would think not, but probably have to think that one through.
Yeah, I would think if you have hardware, so to speak, that would be different mm-hmm. than if you're just talking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, that's I think you should probably address this with your tax advisor or know kind of the rough framework of the details on this to know if it applies to you. It will make a significant difference whether you get 20% of your income deducted on your tax return.
Yeah, actually, you know, you only have a month and a half to make whatever changes you got to make mm-hmm. or to get whatever deductions you want to get off. And the next 6-7 weeks is going to go pretty darn quick.
It is. There's a lot of holiday reveling that needs to occur between now and then.
Oh, man, isn't that the truth?
Yep. That's right.
Well, speaking about that, folks, we're a drop-off center for Toys for Tots. The Marine Corps has been collecting toys for children since 1947, so 71 years. So our office is a drop-off location for Toys for Tots. And if you have some toys you want to give to deserving children, you can drop them off at our office. And we're doing a collection drive that we do with all of our clients and have done that for many, many years. So it's a great way to reach out and help deserving children have a Christmas that they probably wouldn't have.
Absolutely.
So with that, we're going to take a quick break and come back with the Knowledge Trust. You're listening to Investing Simplified. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. No foolish question when it comes to your money, your investments, or your taxes, especially your taxes, because nobody likes to pay them. 503-417-9595, toll free 877-733-1011. We'll be right back.
We do Investing Simplified.
Ooh. Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stege.
Well, Kevin, we were talking earlier about the volatility in the market, and I got to tell you, the market's been going like a roller coaster. And I know somebody your age who's watching the market, the great thing is you got long term. So, you know, with volatility becomes opportunity when you're younger. And a lot of people out there, the hardest thing to do is to get yourself in the habit of saving money. Years ago, when I was with a brokerage firm that I won't mention the name of, but back then we had a story we always told people. We had a brick. And we'd tell people, listen, take this brick. Of course, now I better not even say this, because if people say this, you can get something thrown through your window. But we used to tell them, take the brick, and when the market takes a dip, wrap a check around that brick and go ahead and throw it through my office. You might be mad that your portfolio's down, but it's a great opportunity to buy long-term. And here's the thing. If you just think about if you're investing long-term, and I got to tell you something, folks. One of the things I think we've done a very disservice job to our retirees, when you're 70 years old, saying long-term, people say, well, I don't even buy green bananas because, you know, might not be around long enough to have them get ripe. But the fact is, when you're 70 years old today, a husband and a wife who reach 70, one of them is going to be around 22 to 25 years. Folks, 20 years is a long, long time. Particularly, it's a long time to not have any money. So you've got to be a long-term investor even when you retire. You still have to have some of your portfolio out there into long-term. And I got to tell you, I hear guys on the radio talk about save money and put all your money into safe money. Well, first of all, under state regulations, you can't put all your money in annuities because the state won't allow you to. And if an agent does that, they probably won't be licensed very long. The fact is, the reason is because you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Here's the thing. You can go broke safely. If you had invested only in money markets over the last 10 years, where the S&P has done double-digit returns after the crash. Now, granted, that's back to the crash. But after the crash, it's done double-digit returns. If you had your money in managed money, you probably did 7 to 8%. So not quite as aggressive, but don't have the volatility that they have in the market either. But if you just put your money into a safe investment and got yourself 20 basis points or 1% or even two or 3%, you missed a 2 to 3 times return over that 10-year period. Folks, that's 30 to 40%. 30 to 40% may make the difference of how you live the rest of your life. So if you don't have some exposure to the market, if you're talking safe money, safe money, safe money, remember, you can go broke being safe. You have to have some money. Now, we don't recommend you put all your money, obviously, in the market, but you got to have one of our main strategy, Investing Simplified, is a strategy to help people invest in the market, but have your money so that you're not going to get taken down when the market has a big, big correction. And that's really the key right there, is avoid the big dip. You know, if you can avoid the big crash, you're going to come out remarkably better. It doesn't mean you're going to make money every time. Nobody, no investment makes money every time. And even these guys that talk about safe money, talk about, well, safe money, you're never going to lose. You can only make money. But they always say you won't lose any money, but you might not make any money either. So imagine if you went 3 or 4 years and had a zero rate of return. Zero wouldn't be your hero. Of course, if everybody else was down, it might be. But what about when they start coming back up and you're making 2 to 3% and people who are taking a little risk in the market are making 10 to 12%? You can't go back and re-get those times. You got to have a little diversification. We've got a caller on the line here. Looks like Mary's got a question about an unemployed spouse support into Roth IRA.
Yes. So how does that work? You have your Roth IRA, but then the spousal support. And I had heard that you can only put in money in your Roth if you've earned it in the year. I'm a little confused on spousal support.
Well,
I'm the employed, and my husband is unemployed.
I see. Your ex-husband?
No, my current husband.
Okay. I see. I was thinking spousal support. That's usually a term used for divorce cases, but this is just a spousal IRA contribution. I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
I didn't know
if it was IRA or Roth IRA.
Both, either one.
Yeah,
it's just fine. Yeah. So it's a great little area of the law that basically says if one spouse is working and makes enough for both, and the other spouse stays at home and is a homemaker and all of that, they don't want to penalize a family setup where one is working and the other's working but not getting paid for it. They're a homemaker. Mm-hmm. And so basically they say you can make a contribution for both as a family unit. You know, the $5,500 for the one and $5,500 for the other, or extra $1,000 for each. So that's a good thing. It's pretty straightforward, and we've ran into no issues doing that.
Yeah, it's a smart choice to do.
So you're saying that I would make both of those contributions to my own Roth IRA, or per each?
Each. Yep.
Yeah, okay. You can actually set up a Roth IRA for each of you. The contribution is going to come out of your earned income.
Uh-huh.
So you could do, if you're both over 50, okay, you could do $6,500, $13,000. And put into Roth $6,500 for each of you for the year.
Okay.
As long as you had $13,000 or more of income, you could do it.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hey, great question, Mary. Great question. Thank you.
And I'll just follow up on that before we take our next caller. If you use TurboTax or if you use a tax preparer, when you enter those contributions to say, yes, hey, I made a $6,500 Roth contribution for me and my spouse, any tax software is going to be calculating the worksheet to see if there's enough earned income in the family as a whole to make those, and it'll flag you if it doesn't.
Yeah, great. We've got Rob's got a question about RMD, required minimum distribution. Rob?
Yes, just a quick question. This year I have to take in required distribution. Now, do you have to designate the distribution as an RMD or just take it out of the account and sort it out when you pay your taxes?
Well, you don't have to call it a required minimum distribution. However, when you file your taxes at the end of the year, like, for example, if it's the very first one you take, it's about 3.7%. If you total all your IRAs and you haven't taken that much out, you'll get hit with a 50% penalty plus taxes. So however you take the withdrawal out of your IRAs, just make sure you account for all your IRAs, all your retirement accounts. Make sure you account for them and take that distribution based on those numbers.
Oh, I see. Well, I was going to take 5% just to be safe.
Yeah, you'll be very. If this is this your very first one?
Yes.
Yeah, it actually works out to right about 3.7, but, you know, there's a lot of calculators you can go online and find for that. But if are you paying any other taxes besides on the RMD?
Define other taxes.
Well, if you didn't have your RMD, would you be paying income tax?
Yes.
Okay. Most of my clients, when they get out there to 70.5 because they don't want to pay more taxes than they have to pay, and the IRA is the ultimate deferred income program, they try to stay right at the 3.7 if they can, or 4%, because you don't want to not take enough, but you don't want to take too much either. You know, that paying taxes is a bad thing, but most of us don't want to pay more than we have to pay.
Correct. Now, what is that based on? Your 4%, is it the first of the year, end of the year?
No. For example, when did you turn 70 and a half?
April 5th.
Okay. You've got to take your distribution prior to 12/31. So you've got to take it this year. And it's based on the value of 12/31 of last year. So you take all the total numbers of your IRAs back to 12/31 of last year. And now today with modern technology, most IRA accounts, I know on our accounts, we send out monthly statements on the investment accounts, and it tells what your RMD is that you have to take out that year. Because they want to notify you and make it your responsibility so you take it out, because if you don't take it out, it's a big penalty.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much for your advice, and I'll talk to my advisor, I guess.
Okay, that would be the number one thing to do. Thanks, Rob. Good question.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to take our last break here, and if you want to call, pick up the phone, give us a call. This is your opportunity to ask that question that's keeping you up at night, 503-417-9595, toll free 877-733-1011. And even with all the changes we're going to be making, these numbers will still be our numbers for our radio show in the future. So we'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
We do Investing Simplified.
My name is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the long-running radio talk show, Investing Simplified. My law practice emphasizes estate planning and probate. My mission statement is practical estate planning for peace of mind. This means that I listen carefully to my clients. I explain the various estate planning techniques and documents in the most understandable terms that I can. I try to make sure that my clients are comfortable with what we are doing together before proceeding, and I discuss my fees up front so that clients don't get any unwanted surprise. Estate planning and probate don't have to be that complicated. My experienced staff and I work closely with our clients to guide them through both of these matters in the simplest and most efficient manner possible. My office is located in the White Office Building at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, right across the street from Mall 205. My telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsonlaw.com.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stege.
Well, I just want to point out one other thing, too, that we was talking about long-term investing. One of the things you want to remember is that you got to have some exposure to the markets, because long-term, they've outperformed everything. But, for example, the S&P, if you go back to the turn of the century, which is 12/31/99, the S&P has returned a rate of 4.82%. That's telling you we've had a lot of volatility, but that's almost 5%. Now, if you relate that to other investments, money in a money market account maybe earned 20 basis points, you know, 250% less. If you look at a fixed indexed annuity, you would have made over that period of time about 3%. So that 4.82 looks pretty good compared to 3. It's 50% better. folks. Long term, this is going to make a big, big difference. If you take a look at the NASDAQ over that period of time, the NASDAQ is up 4.37%, and the Dow Jones is the big winner. And the Dow Jones over that period of time is up a whopping 6.77%, 50% better than the S&P. But you got to have some long-term exposure to the markets. You just do. And people who say you don't, they don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. I just tell you that. They do not know what they're talking about. You got to have some long-term exposure to the market. You may not like the volatility, but if it doesn't affect your overall portfolio and you plan properly, it should not affect your overall portfolio desires down the road.
So they say, Chuck, if you're a long-term investor, don't market watch. Don't spend your time watching the ups and downs. But I think if you're a self-directed investor, I think you kind of probably need to be watching all the time. And I think that's probably where you're saying, you know, getting a managed portfolio is a good thing. I know with my investment account, even, you know, being a Gen Xer, I still have some time to wait out the ups and downs, and hopefully there's ups and stuff. But I like to watch. And the last month, it's been interesting, particularly yesterday or throughout this week. One day, the tech stocks are up 6% and the retail stocks are down 5%. And the next day, the retail stocks are up 5% and the tech stocks are down 6%.
It's what we call a Malox moment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, Kevin, if you're a do-it-yourselfer out there, I've got a great offer for you. We have a software package that we use for our clients for retirement planning. And I can tell you these are very expensive. And you can tap into ours and see this for yourself. Write this down. Get a pen and a paper and write this down. I'm going to give you a website you can go to. You can also, if you sign up for our newsletter, we have it on our newsletter, and you can just click the link and go right to it. But it's Make Retirement Simple, then the number 2.com. That's Make Retirement Simple 2.com. And you can go on there and do the same software we do for our clients if you're a do-it-yourselfer, and you can plug in various numbers of rates of return. We tend to use very conservative numbers in our long-term planning, but we think it's great if you're a do-it-yourselfer. You should also have a plan, and you should have a long-term and a short-term plan. So very important. And, you know, you can hear all this stuff about gold and take all your money and put it into gold. Realistically, forever, financial planning has always recommended no more than 3-5% of your long-term money in precious metals. And the reason for that is the volatility, and there's nothing secure in it except the metal. And the metal's only good for what somebody is willing to pay for it. If nobody's willing to pay for it, it's not worth a lot. You know, it's kind of like Bitcoin. I've been saying on the air for several years now, people constantly send me emails and say, I want to invest in Bitcoin. I want to invest. Well, if you invested in Bitcoin at the high, it was over $19,000. Right now, I think it's about $6,500 or $6,200. Not really good. And there's a lot of talk that it might go away. And that would be very bad for a lot of people in it.
Yeah.
I think there's no... Here's my thought about cryptocurrency. Do you really think the governments of all the countries are going to allow you to have a currency that they're not getting paid on? Do you really think they're going to have one that they can't tax you on? Do you really think they're going to have one that they can't come after you on? I just don't see that happening.
This is starting to sound like drug money.
Well, it kind of is in a way, but I got to tell you, I just don't think the government's going to allow it.
Yeah.
At some point in time, the government's going to say enough is enough. We want to be able to tax this money. And look, let's face facts. Most governments around the world have never seen a tax they don't like.
Well, they're going to want to control it too,
yeah,
for even just economic purposes. So, Anyway, we've got just a short time left. If you call now, we can still take your question, 503-417-9595, 877-733-1011. Chuck, I kind of think we've been talking about volatility here. It's kind of interesting being, in investing as the small guy, not tech savvy, so to speak, in comparison to the big guys that have all these algorithms and artificial intelligence analyzing all of the movements of the markets and determining buys and sells and you know, that type of a thing. It seems like that in itself has probably changed the game forever.
You know, I got to tell you, this week, myself and another associate went to a meeting with a company that has a hedge fund manager, mm-hmm. and we got to talk with him totally about what he's doing, on hedge funds. And I got to tell you, it's, you know, he said that it's a very tough time right now because the market is so volatile, and volatility is not the friend of a long-term investor. Mm. It is if you've diversified enough and have cash, so that you can take advantage, and that's one of the things I know they always talked about was still keeping a big cache of money available, so when they had these dips, they could take advantage of the market and buy in at low and ride something back up. But it was amazing when we were talking to them about their stock portfolios, the changes they just made in the month of October to avoid the whiplash effect because they anticipated it. So that's the difference between active and passive management. Passive management would just hang on and ride it through the market. Active management's moving the money, and they're anticipating what's going to happen. And I just think that when you get down, in fact, I got to say this, one of our long-term listeners, and I'll just call him Lucky, sends me stuff all the time, and I appreciate it. I really do. But he sent me one on somebody from a passive company who was writing about their 40 years of experience in passive, saying that passive management was better than active management. The problem is it's selective of what you're choosing. If you choose the 20 companies you're going to compare with the 20 companies you're going to use for your reference and the 20 of the other, let somebody like me pick the other 20 for the active. There's a big difference in what you're doing and comparing. If you're comparing apples to oranges, it's probably going to be a little different. You know, and trying to get people to compare apples to apples is you want to look at the same length of time of the investment. You want to look at the same market conditions and the same exact dates. That's the only true way you can compare rates of return. Anything else is not real.
It just doesn't seem like you can buy and forget anymore, even if you're a long-term investor.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we've got a real quick question here. I think, Jerry, if we're going to get time to talk to Jerry. Jerry, you there?
Yes.
And your question about the 20% tax reduction?
Yes, does that apply to the pass-through companies?
Yes, it does, specifically to partnerships and S-corps. That's mainly who it was created for, and sole proprietor businesses. Absolutely.
And did Oregon take away that in taxes? Or?
No. Oregon is not part of this calculation. This is a federal deduction. Oregon starts with your adjusted gross income, which is before that deduction. So this doesn't factor into Oregon. And I don't believe they created, I'd have to see it in action. I don't believe they created a similar deduction, yeah.
Okay, so but the federal gives you a 20% deduction of your income from a pass-through company.
That's right, if you meet all the requirements, and for the most part you can.
Oh, excellent. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Yes, very good.
Thanks, Jerry. Good question. Kevin, how's somebody get a hold of you?
We are at 503-666-5569. Our website is baker-colson.com.
And you can reach me at pfgwm.com or 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. I just want to mention, too, that we have three free books you can pick up at our office. Number one, Investing Simplified, my original book. Number two, Your Retirement Made Simple, our number one bestseller on Kindle. And also, Peace of Mind Planning. These books are free. If you call our office, stop by, pick them up. You don't have to have an appointment, anything. The only thing we ask is that you read it and pass it on to somebody else, because knowledge is power. Tune in next week. We're going to be here the weekend of after Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about taking out money, a Reg 72T, prior to 59.5. God bless you all.
Here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.